Hey, what's going on out there? V's After Dark Radio Land. You know what time it is when it's Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know it's another exciting edition of Let's Talk About Sports here on V's After Dark Radio, the quickest hour in sports talk radio. You can call in at any time within the hour at 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. And yes, I finally remember to bring up the call number. But what I never forget to do is to introduce my lovely co-host, the CEO of V's After Dark Radio, and amongst other things, the one and only, the very lovely, multi-talented, and let's get right to it, Miss V, the toy lady. Hello, my dear, good evening, and how are you doing, my lovely?
I am doing fabulous. It's raining here, but I'm doing great. How you doing?
How you doing?
No, this is not the Wendy Williams remake, you guys. But I'm doing really good. You know,
got
on the air on time. We didn't have no snack foods.
No, no snack foods. No snack foods. Knock on wood. Wait, where's the wood? Okay, yeah, knock on wood. There you go. Gotta make sure that was real wood, ladies and gentlemen. I just not.
Thursday will be happening after the show.
Yeah, that's an exclusive here on V's After Dark Radio. Yeah, because Ms. V, very busy woman, so she couldn't do it at a normal time like she usually did. But she'll have it done. I'd like to check that out. You gonna be on Periscope? What are you gonna do? You gonna do? You gonna be on Periscope?
I'm gonna do Periscope.
Ooh, I
wanna
join in.
Periscope.
Ooh. I'm going to be there.
So I will be doing, okay, hey. And I know y'all like, what does this have to do with this? But it has a lot to do with it. This is part of our Thursday routine now, and it's Thirsty Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And normally I do it before the show, and it's actually going to be done after the show this week because I was doing some running around. But this is your show, but I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about this week.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I will do, before we end the show, I want to give a very brief, quick edition of my predictions for the MLB season. I'll do that very quickly towards the end of the show, but a lot of things to talk about when it comes to NFL-related things.
Yeah.
And one of the things which I actually found this about last week. But the voting wasn't done till this week. And what am I talking about is the Raiders are officially going to move to Las Vegas. Now, I talked about this a year ago, the possibility of this happening, from a local sports talk guy who actually thought this would be a good idea, considering, you know, L.A. Raiders fan base is not only in Oakland, but it's spread out throughout the nation. It's one of those franchises where it's a very popular team, like the Steelers, you know, like the Cowboys, certain teams like that, that they have a big fan base across the country. And Las Vegas is not too far from Oakland, you know, it's not too far from California. So it makes sense. And considering, I don't know if anybody knows this pretty well, but every NFL owner gets paid very well when there's a big-time move like this happen. Now, within the last not even over a year, we've had the Rams move to Los Angeles. We're going to have the Chargers move to Los Angeles, which they'll share a facility once that's built down there. And now you have the Raiders going to Vegas. Now, the Raiders alone, this is an estimate. I don't got it in front, but it's definitely the Raiders had to pay a relocation fee of over $300 million, which means if you do the calculations, every NFL owner is going to get at least $10 million for the next God knows how many years. I think it's $10 million. I think it's split $10 million to each NFL because 32 NFL teams. So you do the math, blah, 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 whatever. They get about that chunk of money. So you would think when they do a vote, the owners have to do a vote to approve this. You know, if you're an NFL owner, you can't just go, well, I don't want to be here in this city no more. I want to relocate to West, you know, whatever the hell. And you can't just do that without the NFL owner approving that move.
Unless you are the owner of the Cleveland Browns who just ups and does it against the NFL's approval.
Yeah, well, that was not cool. Same thing like the old Colts owner, the Baltimore Colts owner, that moved the Colts to Indianapolis.
Just saying, you know, so everybody understand.
Yeah.
The proper way to do it is the way that the Raiders did it.
Yeah, and the
but
Raiders.
But you have
and
had teams who have up and moved.
Oh, in the middle of the night.
Well,
literally,
I was telling
the
NFL.
Literally
as in, you know how when you get evicted from your house? They did that. But I, you know what? I'm looking at like all my notes. You would laugh. My desk, and we all know that I actually work out of a real office.
Yes, you do.
My desk, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3,
look at
4,
you all prepared.
5, 6, 7.
I'm so proud of you. Look at you. Look at you.
8.
Not that you're not prepared, but you know what I'm saying. You're very, very prepared.
I think, I have 8 things that are all NFL related to talk about. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8. I wanted to make sure I thought I might have had a 9th one, but it's 8. So I just want to make sure. So I got a lot in this quick hour. I don't know nobody mind, but you know, I've got a lot to talk about, even though this is James' show. James will chime in on each and every one of these, and I'm going to actually start.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start in James' territory. Now, when y'all say, what am I mean? I'm going to start in his territory. First of all, everything that I have in front of me as far as my notes came from NFL.com. So if you want
to
know where I've gotten my information,
all information
that you are receiving tonight has been done by different writers for NFL.com.
Gotcha. Totally understand.
So.
Ooh. Let's get
this
right
one,
to it.
I'm going to jump into it. And this one, like I said, I'm going to start in, because this is James's show, I'm going to start in James's territory. Okay. And this article was titled, Tish, Kraft Says Giants Will Have One Super Bowl. Giants co-owner Steve Tisch was happy with the team. I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm one listening.
Giants co-owner Steve, I'm reading this because this is a really quick article.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, these are like really small articles I'm going to read. Giants co-owner Steve Tisch was happy with the team's return to prominence this season, but thought they might have wasted an opportunity to win another Super Bowl. His opinion, interesting enough, was beyond by some intel from Patriots owner Robert Kraft himself. I could not have been happier, Tisch said of his team's 2016 season via NJ.com, but would I have liked to have gone deeper into the playoffs? Of course. Would I have liked to have ended up in Houston? Absolutely. Especially because Bob Kraft, after the Super Bowl, told me, you would have beaten us. That made me feel good. That was a nice compliment. The Giants had a far better defense than the Atlanta Falcons, and even though Dan Quinn had his unit playing top-notch for half of the Super Bowl, it remains to be seen whether or not Ben McAdoo's offense would have been able to score with the Patriots this time around. Kraft was probably just being nice, but I wonder what about last year's Giants team would make him say that. The Giants were arguably deeper at defense back and defensive line, though Atlanta did maximize their talent defensively down the stretch and see some young stars emerge from the folds. While it doesn't really matter, this is, after all, a theoretical makeup between two teams that did not even play one another in the 2016 regular season. I would find it interesting if Kraft was somehow speaking on behalf of Bill Belichick or speaking after hearing something similar from the Patriots head coach. The Giants and the Patriots have developed into great postseason rivals thanks to two thrilling Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Hopefully we'll get one more with Eli Manning and Tom Brady still around. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had to start in Giants territory for you.
Yeah,
what
well,
you think
thank
of that?
You. We appreciate that. First of all, I appreciate that. That shows that you're thinking of me, and I appreciate that. Tish, anybody doesn't know, the Giants they've always had co-owners of the Giants, football Giants franchise for at least since like at least 1990. If I remember correctly, that's when John Mara, William Tamara, before he died, this is when he was still alive at the time, with his what's his name's father, Tish's father, John Tish's father. You know, he bought the share of the Giants, and they've been co-owners for now. Oh my God, I guess this is 1990, so you do the math. That's a pretty long time, 27 years at least. And the Tishes have always been more. They have more of an outgoing personality than the Maras do. The Maras are more laid back. The Maras are more like they don't like to be out there in the spotlight like that. Where the Tishes are more like. They're not like what's his name from the Cowboys, but they're like maybe, you know, a lighter version of the Cowboys owner, which I can't believe I forgot his name, but you know what I'm talking about. So it's not surprising that he would say something like that. But let's be honest, the Giants, although their defense was very good, their offense was suspect. I wasn't all upset when they lost in the playoffs because I knew they weren't going to go far. I mean, that's me saying that. I mean, you got fans that just blind. They don't want to accept reality. They say, what are you talking about? We could have had a chance just like anybody else. Yes, that's true. But I didn't see them going far anyway. So, and let me just say this. Robert Kraft is a very nice man, and he was just being nice. I think he's using reverse psychology to say, yeah, you would have beaten us. Because maybe he thought the third time would be the charm, and it happened. And then you'll finally beat us in the Super Bowl. I think that was his tactic there, you know what I'm saying? And I think he was speaking more for himself than he was for the Patriots organization. Because trust me, Tom Brady ain't not going to say to somebody, oh, yeah, you would have beaten us. Yeah, there, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. Not Tom Brady. That's not going to happen. So,
I'm just putting the word out there. You know what? First of all, the fact that I love that this came from NFL.com, you know, because a lot of times you can read a local paper and it gives that perspective from the local aspect. But NFL.com, I do like biased. The fact that they cover the entire NFL. They're not biased.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know,
the whole,
when
yeah.
you get your information from them.
Team. Yeah, yeah.
Because first of all, they can't. If they went one way, they'd be in trouble. They'd be bias.com. But
yeah, exactly. And they might go to LegalZoom.com because
we all know they might.
I'm just saying.
But sometimes I think they need LegalZoom.com. I'm just keeping it real. I think sometimes they do need LegalZoom.com. They just haven't been told that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not surprised. Well, like I said, the Tishes, you know, they're more out there. They actually like the Hollywood crowd and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised he would be outspoken and say certain things like that. But he's not the type to be, you know, to embarrass the organization. You know, he's not like over the top, you know, that type of personality. But he's definitely way more outgoing than John Mara is, who's the other owner of the Giants, the longtime owner of the Giants, going way back to when they originated in 1925, you know, from his grandfather. So going back in the day. So, yeah, and you know what's the funny thing about that story? You know, I forgot the gentleman's first name, you know, the Maras, but he was a bookie that all of a sudden owned the Giants. It's a
Oh, he was a Vegas bookie? Oh.
Yeah, he was a bookie. No, I don't know about Vegas bookie, but I know he was a bookie locally in the city. So he from a guy that was, you know, doing something that's not legal to owning the franchise.
So basically from a guy who was doing dirt for a guy not making money.
So
that's a real hustle.
That's a hustler. That's a hustler. That's old school. That's old OG. Hustle. Yeah, I respect that. Who don't like that? I'm just saying. I like that.
Okay. And I don't know if you saw, but we do have a
what's that?
We've got a friend in the queue that wants to talk.
Oh, you? Oh, okay. I didn't know. I was just getting in. Is somebody that's recognizable or no?
Yes, very recognizable. Before we bring them in, I want to hit one more subject and. Friend in the queue,
okay,
I'm going to bring you in, but see, since I got so much stuff that I wanted to hit in this quick hour of sports, if y'all know this, I ain't trying to mess around.
Gotcha.
Okay, this says article, I hope you're sitting down. Don't drink anything because I'm going to, and I'm going to read you the headline. No, you don't want nothing in your mouth at this point because you don't want nothing in your mouth when I read this. Because I had to do a double check. I had to do a double check, double take when I read it.
Okay.
And I'm sitting down because I'm still doing a like triple and double take. Again, all information today that I'm speaking on is being derived from NFL.com.
Courtesy of
this article dated March 28th, 2017. I'm gonna start letting y'all know the dates too, so y'all know how recent this is.
Okay, 2 days ago.
Headline.
Yes.
John Harbaugh. Teams aren't ignoring Colin Kaepernick. Let me read you this short but quaint article that was published on March 28th at 1:08 p.m.
Not Kaepernick.
Again.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
It was published at March 28th, 2017 at 1:08 p.m. It was updated on March 28th at 1:27 p.m.
Ooh,
I'm going to read this very short article.
Yes, please.
And then not only am I going to let you comment, I'm going to let the person in our queue comment.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick remains a free agent, and Baltimore Ravens coach John Harbaugh has a message for anyone who thinks teams are purposely ignoring the former San Francisco 49ers cornerback. Speaking to reporters at the AFC Coaches Breakfast at the annual league meeting in Phoenix on Tuesday, Harbaugh said it was stupid and intellectually lazy to believe teams are blackballing the former San Francisco 49ers cornerback. It's more nuanced, he added. Kaepernick's on-field struggles coupled with the off-field notoriety he garnered by taking a knee during the performing of the national anthem before games last season has led many to believe he's locked in a state of free agent purgatory. Despite the many opinions regarding why Kaepernick remains on the market, Harbaugh is among those who believe the quarterback has a future in the NFL. I absolutely think he's going to get signed. I agree with, in parentheses, my brother, Jim, parentheses, Harbaugh. He can win games for people, said Harbaugh, who added he thinks he can be a starter again. New Broncos head coach Vance Joseph also doesn't see a big deal with Kaepernick's stance on social issues. It does not bother me, Joseph said Tuesday, part of Denver Post. You have to give the players a right to voice their personal concerns. That doesn't bother me at all. Colin, you will hope he gets elevated as a quarterback first, and then his personal views can be put to the side a little bit. Joseph went on to say that there are plenty of reasons why Kaepernick and other notable players are still on the free agent market. Joseph added, he isn't surprised the QB is still available. It could be numerous issues as far as he's a veteran quarterback. His number could be really high. He doesn't fit a certain offensive philosophy, Joseph said. It could be numerous things, period.
Well, if I can say a few words.
It's your show.
The bottom, thank you so much. Thanks to you. now, the bottom line is this, is called, can you perform in the NFL? Can you perform on the field? Now, taking away the crap that Kaepernick was doing, which I said all along I thought was full of you know what, because I always thought there was some agenda behind what he was doing, which I'm just saying it was shown right, you know, without me even going into it as much as I should have. I did, but not as, you know, I left it alone after a while. He hasn't performed as well the last few years. It's just a fact. You know, regardless of all the other stuff all off the field, he has not performed the same since Jim Harbaugh, you know, his brother, left the 49ers due to the 49ers' egomaniac management that they felt they were the main reasons why the 49ers were doing so well when really it was all Jim Harbaugh doing what he was doing with that team. He was the heart and soul of that team, the captain of that team, and was the reason why they did so well. Once he left, did you notice there's a trend where they just weren't the same no more and Kaepernick's game dipped dramatically, thus led to this epiphany of being a social activist? I'm just saying. And Kaepernick doesn't fall in that same category of a Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown type of social activist. It's not even close, and anybody who thinks that should be punched repeatedly in the face. And that's just me. I always said that Kaepernick did it just to make himself almost practically a guarantee that he would not be cut. That's why he did what he did. Because he knew if he did this, if 49ers manager would cut him because of his performance on the field, they would go, oh, it's because of his stance and his social awareness. So that way the manager would look bad and Kaepernick would look like a hero. That's why he did what he did. I said it the week after he did it during camp at that time last year, and I stuck by it throughout the whole way. And then as time went on, well, what a shock. It seemed like that was the case. Because then all of a sudden he flip-flops and not too long ago said, well, you know, now I'll stand for the national anthem. You know, but yeah, I wonder why. Because you need a job, that's why. Because you did get eventually cut by the 49ers after everything had died down. And now all of a sudden you have a change of heart. Like, well, yeah, now I'll stand for the national anthem. If, you know, yeah, because you want to have a job. And your agent told you, hey, you know, you better, you know, change your ways. So you're going to get, you'd be lucky if you get a backup job, let alone a starting quarterback job. And my thing is, the bottom line is, he's still young, he could play. But as we've seen in the last few years, remember RG3, when he came out guns a-blazing in his rookie year, and then he got hurt, which I always felt Redskins management drove him to the ground like a, you know, like a government mule, and he's never been the same since, although the rest has been his fault more than anything, you know, with his antics in the locker room and stuff like that, which is surprising because he comes from a background, RG3, his parents were all military, you know, his father and mother. Very big-time military people. You know, I'm surprised that he ended up the way he did, bouncing to a couple of teams already. He's still a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. I know the Browns cut him. My point with RG3 is that 1 year, rookie year, outstanding, and then the next year, gone. So it could come and go real quickly, especially in the NFL. So I could see with Kaepernick, he could get it back to what he was. But I don't know at this point. As Yogi Berra, the late great Yogi Berra said, it's getting dark early. It's getting late early for his career.
Well, I'm gonna bring in a person in the queue and see what they think.
Oh yeah.
Like please. I said, everything I have on my desk, I'm not gonna talk about because some of this stuff is like you would have to see the article to understand it. But
gotcha.
Those two things I want to bring up. There's a couple other things I want to talk about. But
Cool.
Hey caller.
Hey caller.
I say, boy, I say.
Are you a chicken?
Yeah. Hawk?
I'm a chicken hawk, and you are a chicken. Okay, now we don't have that much time, so go ahead, Greg. This is Greg, by the way, one of our great listeners of Visa the Dark Radio, long-time listener, way before even I came in the picture. So how you doing, my man? What's up?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Now, Kaepernick. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's going to end up, I mean, he messed up, but look at same thing with Johnny Manziel. Same thing, different situation, but messed up. Is he going to come back? I mean, who knows? I doubt it.
Manziel messed up way worse than Kaepernick because Manziel took it to a brand new level.
Yeah.
You know, Manziel is at a level of, he's at the point
right
of no return, okay? Manziel needs Jesus right now.
He has set the high bar way up there. And I don't even think a Olympic person could jump that high bar.
Now,
Manziel
like
just
said,
took it to a brand new level, though. But, you know, and we weren't really talking about Manziel. But for those of y'all who don't understand,
Manziel is, you know, he took from his arrogant attitude to let me lay my hands on a woman. You know, he, like I said, Kaepernick is just arrogant. And there's a different, you know, I can handle, I can see Kaepernick coming back to the NFL before Manziel. I'm going to keep it real.
I agree.
Because Kaepernick.
I agree.
Because Kaepernick, what he has done for purely attention for himself. He has not gone out there to our knowledge. Let's put this out there to our knowledge. He has not put his, he has not laid hands on anyone. He has not taken his arrogance to the point of requiring intervention of any sort. Now, he might need some intervention on that arrogant attitude of his, but he definitely has not gone to the point where he has a arrest record or charges and stuff against him.
Like,
you know,
like
the attitude can be adjusted. You know, when you lay your hands on somebody because you're just that arrogant, I mean, come on now. First of all, let's talk about Manziel. Manziel played for the worst team in the NFL. How do you go from the worst team in the NFL to being the worst player in the NFL? You know, he just took it to a brand new level because he was a very good quarterback. But he just took that to a brand new level. I mean, the Browns weren't the best team, but there was no reason for you to just take that to a level of let me shoot myself not in one foot but both of them.
But yeah, and at least one thing about Kaepernick, at least Kaepernick was proven to be a pretty good starting NFL quarterback. At one point, he was actually considered one of the top five in the NFL. It wasn't that long ago. He was actually pretty good. For a couple of years under Jim Harbaugh. I'm just saying. It's not coincidence when John Harbaugh left because of 49ers' arrogance in their management that his game went downhill after that. Because him and Harbaugh were.
But the whole thing is the entire team. You know, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You could say the entire. When Jim Harbaugh left and came to Michigan, I'm not a Michigan fan, but when he left and came back to Michigan.
Yeah, there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's from there. That's his alumni.
The entire team. It wasn't one person. It was the entire team. So the fact that they laid their entire being on an individual and they did not look at what that individual is contributing means that they really undermined what he was doing.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. Big time.
I mean,
bingo.
I'll put it this way. If right now, if I was a NFL coach, and I had the choice, I would go, my choice would be between Kaepernick and Romo. I'd choose Romo.
Oh, yeah, I would, too. I would, too. Which, by the way, that's another situation where, okay, now I remember his name, Jerry Jones. Now, the thing with Romo, okay, I really thought by now he would be gone from the Cowboys for logical reasons, but I think that there's two reasons I think why he's still with the Cowboys. One, I think they are not sure with Dak Prescott if that was just a fluke or not. In other words, they know with Romo, they know he has a track record. They know Romo has been successful in Dallas. Okay? And all due respect with Dak Prescott, awesome rookie year, no question about it. Him and his teammate, I can't believe I got his name. You know what I'm talking about. The running back. They had an outstanding year. Outstanding. But if you remember towards the end of the year, he kind of fell off a little bit. And maybe one of the reasons they're thinking of is that, well, what if Dak Prescott, you know, it's just a flash in the pan? What if he's another RG3? And then what happens
right.
if we cut Romo and then Dak, you know, Prescott falls on his butt? Then what? We have no backup to follow. So that's one of the reasons. I think another reason why it's because Jerry Jones is very close with Tony Romo. They actually have a real friendship off the field. So I think that's a lot of reasons, too. Now, for the Texans, and I agree with Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin, you know, I'm not a big fan of his for a lot of reasons, mostly because as a player, because he used to kill my Giants back in the day as a Cowboy. And he used to cheat all the time pushing off a cornerback just to catch a ball, but now there's a new rule because of him. He said okay, let me get this clear. The Texans don't want to make a trade move to get Tony Romo, but yet they went out of their way last year to get that backup quarterback from Denver to spend. I mean, they didn't spend $72 million on him, but they offered him that contract. Because remember that the NFL contract's not 100% guaranteed. I forgot Oswell was named the quarterback they got to back up for Peyton Manning at the time. And to turn around not even a year later, and they cut him. So, wait a minute. You had no problem offering that guy who was a free agent. I know it's different. All that money, but yet you don't want to look into a trade to get Tony Romo, a proven NFL starting quarterback? That makes no sense. That makes absolute. I totally agree with Michael Irving on that. That's asinine. Like, how you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I that's another reason, too. Reason number three. How bad does it look if he does go to Texans and he's still in the local market and he does very well? Because let's be honest, the Texans are a very good team. Their problem was offense, not defense. So they get Tony
okay,
Romo.
Remind me again.
I'm
the Texans
saying.
Used to be the
yes.
Houston Oilers. Okay, remind me again.
Yes.
The Texans used to be the Houston Oilers.
No. That's
Tennessee
wrong.
Titans.
Yes, that's right, Greg. The
yep.
expansion team, the Texans. They are an expansion team.
Yep,
they are an expansion team. The Oilers.
And what happened to the Oilers?
The Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans. That's the whole.
Oh, kind of like the Baltimore Ravens thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so speaking of trade, I've got something else. You know, y'all, I just love that y'all say words that, like, take me into another article. Dog, and this is your show, but I told you I had a lot before we got on the air, so.
And ladies and gentlemen, we don't do no meeting before the show. Hey, this is what we're going to talk. You know, we're going to do this and that, you know. I mean, I ain't going to lie. We said that, you know, Ms. V told me, okay, we're going to talk about NFL stuff, but it wasn't like, okay, in this order, we're going to do this, that, and the third. So it's very organic what we do. It's just talent. You know, we just have natural
like,
talent.
I told him I was prepared because it was like the NFL has like really been on. You guys know that I'm not big on baseball, but I am big in the NFL.
I am.
And what it is that stuff – first of all, I don't know if I announced it on the show last week. If I did, I'll brag
right.
again.
All right, here we go.
I have my season tickets for the Detroit Lions.
Ooh,
so,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
You know, so naturally, because actually I'm going to be doing the on-field experience this year. So in order to do the on-field experience with the Detroit Lions, you have to sign up. You have to actually download the Detroit Lions app, which I've never done. I've always done the NFL app because then I can watch the games live because I have NFL on Verizon. So, you know, when you got Verizon, that's like part of the package. So you actually watch the games free on your phone. So a lot of times when we're late for a game, I'm on my phone watching the game so I don't feel as late. So I'm like seeing all the stuff that people are talking about. But when you get the on-field experience, which is what I was given this year was the on-field experience, in order to pick the day that you want to do your on-field experience, you have to actually download the Detroit Lions app and sign in and, like, get all this stuff. So because I had to sign up for their thing, I had to go into NFL.com, long story short. But this is another article. I'm going to read you the title.
Sorry, title.
And then when this was done, since we were talking about, you guys were talking about trade, I'm sitting back, I'm being a lady that I am listening. Texas owner Broderick Osweiler trade, shocker to me. This was published on March 28th at 9:49 a.m., updated March 28th at 10:09 a.m. Another short article. Yeah, I'm giving y'all information where I'm getting it from. Houston Texans general manager Rick Smith convinced the Cleveland Browns to take on – I got to repeat this. Rick Smith convinced the Cleveland Browns to take on – y'all ready for this? His $72 million mistake for the cost of a second-round pick. The trade of Broderick Osweiler surprised even Houston's owner. It was a shocker to me, Bob McNamara told the Houston Chronicle on Monday from the annual league meeting in Phoenix. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe that Rick was able to pull it off. In his first comments on the Osweiler trade, McNair noted that Others around the NFL were surprised the Texans could find a taker for the disappointing quarterback with an onerous contract. Everybody around the league, their jaws are still hanging open, he said. It's something no one thought about, and I think other people have looked at, and they've been trying to do the same thing without success. McNair was Osweiler's biggest supporter during a disastrous 2016 season, yet even the owner backed the decision to move on. McNair cited the team famously not marrying with the quarterback before signing him to big money as part of the reason it didn't work out. We didn't know Brock well enough, McNair said. Coach Bill O'Brien didn't have a chance to get to know him. That's one of the problems with free agency. He added, you need to know who you're dealing with in the draft. We're able to bring them to Houston, sit down with them, watch them interviewed by a bunch of coaches, and you have time to check them out. You can't talk to them before they become a free agent. You can't work them out. We didn't know him that well. Moving forward, the Texans have Tom Savage and Brandon Whedon under center. But McNair will keep pushing for the team to add a quarterback, either a veteran one or one in the draft. It's important that we upgrade to play a quarterback, McNair said. Maybe we have a player as Savage, but that remains to be seen. We think he has the ability and could be that guy, but he hasn't been healthy. The best chance for an upgrade would be adding Tony Romo whenever he's released by the Dallas Cowboys. The search for a franchise quarterback has consumed McNair and the Texans. It's understandable when Matt Schwab is the greatest quarterback in franchise history. Brock's 2016 season actually places him fourth overall in team history in total passing yards. Pop quiz. Who ranks third in total passing yards in Texas franchise history? Time's up. Sage Rosenfeld. Shedding Oswald's contract was a bold move. Winning the stare down with the Cowboys for Romo is the next maneuver to upgrade a playoff caliber roster. Okay, guys.
Oh. Well, to make it short, if the owner is smart and manager is smart, they should go after Tony Romo. I mean, I understand that he's had recent injury history. I'm not saying he's a little older. I understand that, but I think with a new environment and being on a team that's a Super Bowl contender, not that the Cowboys aren't. Unfortunately, they are a Super Bowl contender. I'm just saying that I think with new environment, and I think he'll have something to prove, because let's be honest, you have pride as a pro athlete, regardless if you're a superstar or just an average player, that, you know, you have that pride of, you know, showing that you still got it. And I think Romo will have a lot to prove, especially if he gets cut and not traded, because that would be even more motivation. Oh, you think I couldn't do it no more? Okay. He'll go to the backyard of Texas, Houston. Like I said before, I think Jerry Jones don't want that. Another reason why he's not letting him go, because God forbid Tony Romo is successful with the Texans, and God forbid if it's the Texans and Cowboys in a Super Bowl, which could happen. It could happen. And imagine that. Imagine that press. And imagine Tony Romo winning his first Super Bowl, not as a Cowboy, but against the Texans, and he beats Jerry Jones' Cowboys. Ouch. Ouch.
Yep.
I'm just saying. So,
I mean, not to mention if Romo does go to the Texans, it would also help him out with his restaurant chain in Texas.
Ooh, that's a great point. There you go. That's a great point. See, that's a great point. I'm telling you, if I was the owner of the Texans, I would do anything in my power. Now, I'm not trading my whole future for him because he's an older player, and like I said, he has a recent history with the injury bug. But he's definitely proven, and he's definitely one of the top quarterbacks, if healthy. So I don't mind trading a first, you know, my picks for this year or something to get him. A first-round pick or something like that together. Why not? Especially when you have a now team. Especially when you're right
can
there.
Can I ask a question, you guys? I want to ask the question.
Yes.
Nobody's discussed how he pulled off getting rid of $72 million in debt. Come on now.
Well, I don't know. See, but like
that's,
I said.
That's the million. The big question is the million-dollar question.
Well, remember.
I mean, okay, first of all, can I say this? And I'm going to try to be as clean as possible when I say this.
Yeah, which is hard. I know sometimes. I know. Tough.
I'm going to say this without cussing.
You can do it, Miss. You can do it.
The hookers in Texas must be fabulous.
Mm.
And because when you could get rid of a $72 million problem, the hookers have got to be fabulous. And I want people, because this is a family-friendly show, to read into what I'm saying. Hookers are always a resort. But when you got rid of $72 million, you better take the hookers. They got to be fabulous in Texas. Because I know about the hookers in Cleveland. They ain't that good, you know. But the hookers in Texas have got to be fabulous.
Well,
what y'all think?
Well, my thing is this. To be fair, like I said, the NFL contract, so not all that $72 million wasn't guaranteed. I'm trying to look up right now how much did he get. How much of that money
did he get
guaranteed?
It was a nice chunk that was guaranteed for them to be able to get rid of it, though.
I know. It's still, though, trust me. Even though it wasn't the full $72 million, it's still a lot of chunk of change. I'm not saying it was chunk change.
That's
but,
what I'm saying. It's a nice chunk that was guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but,
I think with the NFL, if you're cut from a team, you do not get that full contract. You get a severance pay, but I'm not sure how much.
That's the whole thing. But see, $72 million is a good chunk. His good chunk probably was about a third of that, which might have been about $30 million, okay? He might even got half of it. You know, that's a nice chunk of money. And when you're talking about having salary caps and everything out there, like I said, I'm going to go back and repeat it again because it's worth saying. The hookers in Texas must be fabulous.
I was going to say, how family friendly is this show?
It's very family friendly. That's why I said hookers.
I ain't saying
nothing.
If you
notice, I have not. That's why I have not elaborated past that.
And they're not.
That's why I think the fact that I was able to say hookers and hold my tongue. And Greg, just so you know, our setting is G for everybody.
Okay. Hopefully I didn't say anything bad.
You haven't said anything at all. You asked how family friendly we were. I was just letting you know. Our rating is actually G.
I like that.
This is the only G-rated show we have.
Now, to get off subject, which you guys talked about earlier, how many people live in Las Vegas?
More than you would think. Okay. See, hold up. See, I got the Las Vegas thing coming. So since James is being quiet, let me read my next article. See, I just love y'all taking me all in my segues. You know what? James, this is your show, but I am telling you, this is like working fabulous for me.
And this is about the Raiders.
I know. Let me read this to you. I got something on that also. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you, Greg, for taking me into my next article. Dated. Okay, here's the headline. Raiders will be rock stars in Las Vegas. New Market Benefits NFL. Again, published March 28th, 11:47 a.m. Updated March 28th at 12:19 p.m. Now, I want to read this long article to you, but I think this is worth reading. And this long article is this. It says, truth is, I loathe. Okay, let me tell you. First of all, if y'all understand who's speaking, this is the person who wrote this. He is NFL media columnist Adam Sheen. So this is actually reading as in the first person because he wrote this. Truth is, I loathe the general concept of franchise relocation. I hate when a passionate fan base loses a team. It guts you. It strips away your sports soul. Most especially, I feel for the kids and the parents who have to explain it, to have to smooth over immense heartbreak. I feel absolutely terrible for the amazing and passionate Raiders fans in the Bay Area upon hearing the news that the organization gained the approval of the NFL owners by a 31-1 margin to leave Oakland for Las Vegas. It's going to be quite an awkward and uncomfortable period here with the Raiders spending at least the next 2 and possibly 3 years in Oakland while their $1.7 billion home is erected 550 miles away. Talk about a franchise in transition. Having said that, I love the move for the franchise itself. The Raiders are going to be rock stars in Vegas. The swagger of the Raiders, the popularity of the Raiders is going to increase tenfold. All of the above can be true. We've talked about this potential move for quite some time now, and I've always been a huge advocate for a number of reasons. The Raiders' current stadium in Oakland is the worst in the NFL, bar none, and there is no viable plan to upgrade. Your franchise can't be in limbo looking into the crystal ball, hoping against the hope that something will materialize. Moving into the next decade, you can't keep playing in a decrepit stadium. You can't keep playing football on athletics infield dirt. Hello, Vegas. The new stadium is going to be dreamy and a state of the art. It's going to be an attraction in itself. You can't compare the stadium situations in Las Vegas and Oakland. It's like comparing Ken Stabler to Jamarcus Russell. And the Raiders brand and swagger and toughness in the entertainment capital of the world, count me in. The Raiders are going to own Vegas and captivate a rabid fan base. I've always argued that the city should have multiple professional sports teams and that the NFL definitely should be there. Las Vegas has the population somewhere in the neighborhood of 600,000 to sustain, and it's the ultimate destination city. Folks from the omnipresent and diehard fan base of Raider Nation will get on a plane and head to McCarran International Airport, and when the dust settles in the Bay Area, many fans will take the short flight to the Silver and Black. It's just over an hour through the air from Oakland to Las Vegas. And let y'all know, it's like a 5.5-hour drive. I know that firsthand. But you ask, what about the casino factor? The old line of thinking on sports gambling has become archaic in 2017. If you want to wager on sporting events, you can do it from your computer or phone. You don't need to hit the Vegas Strip. By the way, the NFL already plays a bevy of games in London where it's legal to gamble on sports. And to be honest, the Vegas aura and mystique fits with the history and tradition of great players, characters of the organization. The Renegade Raiders of the 1970s clearly would have been right at home in Sin City, and the move will benefit current players embracing the star power of Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, and Amir Cooper. The newfound guttiness of Blackjack, Del Rio, obviously, they'll say. Of course, a good product is always important in show business, especially when you're the new show in town. Well, with the aforementioned players forming a very strong youth core, the organization is in a strong position to contend for titles for years to come. That includes the remaining years in Oakland, too, something that will help smooth over the legitimate understandable feelings of heartache among the Bay Area Raiders fans. Again, I hate the idea of a team leaving a city where there is so much rich history and tradition, but this is a business. That's the cold, hard truth. And nostalgia alone just isn't enough to clear some serious business hurdles. It's not about the field. Billionaire days. It's about giving the Raiders franchise the ability to succeed and prosper in the long term. Vegas is such an untapped gem for the NFL. The Raiders are ready for the glitz and glamour and unpredictability of Vegas. They're going to become part of the circus and thrive. It's going to be larger than life. And the city well beyond, and I can't wait to watch it unfold. Vegas, baby, Vegas. Thanks, Greg, for taking me into my Vegas thing.
Vegas.
Well,
first
that's
all,
fine. I mean, go ahead, James.
Ahead,
I'm sorry.
No. Okay. By the way, I apologize. My phone was on track. It said, no, you're not going to talk right now. I'm taking you off the air for a minute or two, but I'm back.
I saw that.
I think it was very well, very noticeable for a lot of people. Now, we've heard cities that loses sports franchises before, but this is very unique because not only has the Raiders have left Oakland once, but this will be twice. The first time was to Los Angeles, back in the 80s. Now we're in the 2000s, the teens of the 2000s, and now they're going to Las Vegas. So, you know, those fans from the black hole are not too happy, and especially the timing of it when their team is finally a Super Bowl contending team. I mean, this season had Carr never got hurt, their quarterback, who's to say they wouldn't have not challenged the Patriots for the right to go to the Super Bowl for the AFC. They would have had a big-time chance. The timing was just so horrible with the injuries and everything that they fall flat on their back at the wrong time. So your Oakland Raiders fan, like, great. Not only they're leaving, but they're a good team, and they're only going to be here for a couple of years, which I noticed today in the article, there might be a possibility they might play the next couple of years in San Antonio before they go to Las Vegas, according to an article I saw. I didn't get the chance to read it, but there's a talk about maybe they'll play in San Antonio starting this upcoming year before they make the move to Las Vegas. So, boy, you talk about even another kick to the nuts. You know, that's horrible. It's a smart move. I think it's a marriage made in Sin City. I mean, a team like the Raiders, the aura of the Raiders.
What better team to go? I mean, first of all, I'm going to speak on this. I've never been a Raiders fan, but I love their colors. I mean, they've got the coolest colors out there.
For anybody who says,
oh, well, I'm looking at their butts. No, I look at the play. But what I would tell you is that Raiders Nation is the strongest of any of the fan bases out there. And if you have ever been around, and I used to live in the Bay Area, and
yeah,
I will tell you that Raiders Nation is nothing compared. I mean, when I lived out there, I was an outcast because I'm always going to be Honolulu blue and gray.
Blue,
I will always be that. Honolulu blue. You know, I wear a pride.
Yes.
But with that, I tell everybody that you have to understand that when you are around there, they're contagious. I ain't going to lie to you. I almost love the Raiders stuff, not because I'm a Raiders fan, but when you live in Raiders Nation, Raiders Nation is contagious. And I say that wholeheartedly because I lived around them. And even with the moves and stuff, Raiders Nation is the strongest. And their fan base goes way beyond. I mean, every team has fans in other states and other countries because people travel and they move. But Raiders Nation? Oh, my Jesus. Raiders Nation, and I'm going to tell you another strong fan base, the Cleveland Browns Dogtown. Them are two strong fan bases. And I know people say, why would I say the Cleveland Browns Dogtown? Think about it. They lost their team. Their team said, the owner of their team said, see you by no warning. I'm not going to leave. I'm not even going to leave $100 on the nightstand for you. That's how mad I am.
Yeah.
I ain't leaving nothing on the nightstand. I'm not forewarning you. I'm not leaving you I'm not even leaving you a forwarding address. As a matter of fact, the maid will be cleaning up as I'm walking out the door. You get no reprieve. And when you look at Cleveland Browns fans, just like Raiders Nation, those are two resilient fan bases that cannot be broken. And I agree with the writer of the article. I see Raiders Nation is going to be even bigger than it already is because you got to realize
Las Vegas is the one place where you have a lot of transplants. So nobody really knows how big of Radio Station's fan base is actually in Vegas, because Vegas is the transplant city. When you go to Vegas, there is no team. So the fact that you're going to get Raiders Nation there, and you're going to get teams that go there that are going to feel at home. And this is, I see this not just a benefit to the Raiders, so I see it a benefit to every single team that plays the Raiders. And I say that because Las Vegas is the one place where every, you know, that's not only retirement heaven, it's young people heaven. You have UNLV right there. So you have your fan base from around the country. You know, I'm just keeping it real. I don't know what nobody else thinks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was talk a couple of years ago that Oklahoma would be interested in the Raiders.
Yeah,
but
that.
Even though we have more population, I think, than Vegas or Nevada, I think Vegas would be the perfect location and the best name. Oh, man, the Nevada Raiders? I mean,
I like Las Vegas.
I mean,
the Vegas Raiders.
I like Vegas Raiders better because I understand what you're saying about Nevada, but you say the Vegas Raiders, that just goes with the whole element of Sin City.
Yeah, and that would be better too than Las Vegas. So it's Nevada Raiders or Vegas Raiders. So, yeah.
I think they're going to
be Vegas
Raiders.
Yeah. Now,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. But now I want the NFL to stop being hypocrites and embrace the betting world. Because all these years, we don't accept, we condone betting, da-da-da. But meanwhile, it's a $1 billion industry. The reason, I ain't gonna lie, the reason I got into football at 11 years old was because of betting, okay? Betting led me to the way to the NFL, which led me to playing football. Now, I didn't play pro, nothing like that, or semi-pro. I'm just saying I played two-hand touch, but it's football.
Yeah.
Or a little sometimes, but it led me to football. It's a gateway to football. It's the best betting sport in all of sports. So let's stop with the crap. Now that you're going to be in Las Vegas, let's not poo-poo about people betting on football now. Stop the hypocrisy. You better stop, because you're being hypocrites right now. That all you are owners, except for one, the Miami Dolphins owner, who didn't condone it, which I don't understand, because it's like saying, gee, you want $10 million or don't you want $10 million? Gee, I don't know. So if I say yes, I get $10 million. If I say no, I don't, gee, I got to think about that. I don't know. I like to know. I got the article. I like to know why he said no. I'm very curious why that Dolphins owner was the only one that said nay. I'm just very curious on that. Like, I don't know, understand why you be against it, especially when you're getting guaranteed money coming your way when you say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know we're down to our last minute, but I want to hit one more thing.
Yeah, I know.
Even though this is your show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
I want to hit, you know, even though I had all this stuff out here, I really didn't. I wasn't trying to hit on everything, but I do want to hit on one more thing, because this is something that we really did talk about, the no leaving rule. And this article is so short that I'll be done with it in less than 30 seconds. NFL passes no leaping rule, approves ban for head hits. Run back the tape to these surprising leaps of faith to block field goals because they're now extinct. The NFL's no leaping rule has passed a vote by team owners. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported the rule was first proposed by NFL Players Association President Eric Winston, who suggested the ban be in the interest of player safety. The owners also approved the rule on automatic ejections for erroneous hits to the head. The new rule comes after a year after the league implemented an automatic ejection system for players who committed two personal fouls in the same game. Around the NFL, we'll have more on this story shortly. I told you, short article.
It is a short article. By the way, real quickly, going back to Brock Osweiler, he's guaranteed $37 million. That's not bad.
Like I said,
Nice check of change.
Not bad. Just saying. Too bad we don't know this guy.
The hookers in Houston must be hookers in Texas have to be good.
Oh boy, Oh my God! I recreate Nevada if I could. Okay, I'm sorry. This is a family show. Come on. The NFL every year. Why is it every year Goodell and these people? We have to put new rules. I know you want to try to protect the players. I understand.
Are they trying to become the NBA? My question is the NFL trying to become the NBA?
What?
The new baby association? NBA is the new.
Somebody.
The NBA is the new baby association, NFL, the no fun league. So.
Yeah. The new babies. I like that. The new babies. I like that, especially with you know who. The same. We keep the streak alive when we say you know who. Especially him.
That's why I said NBA, New Baby Association.
Yeah. You know, the NFL is going to be their own worst enemy. They're going to be the reason why if the NFL shuts down in the future. They just, you know how it is? You know, remember, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember the reason why that show was so successful? Because it was exclusive. It was once a week, and it was only in the summertime. That's it. But they got greedy. Oh, let's make this every night, every week. And what happened? It got watered down and played out, and it's gone. This is what's going to happen in the NFL. Let's change the rules. Let's keep, less fun, less contact, where it turns into basically
let's
like
expand the Mexico. Let's expand to London. My whole thing is that when you look at it, okay, now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The reason why the NFL is going to fail, and guess what's going to happen? The Canadian Football League is going to take over.
Well, Doug Flutie be happy about that, I guess.
But I'm just saying, between the Canadian Football League and remember, what is it? We've got arena football and we've got another. I know a lot of people forget another
CFL.
Football league and
yeah,
the CFL.
Yeah, CFL.
I see the CFL becoming the Premier League. And what
Can
people don't realize for anybody who's listening to this show, the NFL only became a balance because you had two leagues at first. You had the AFL. And the NFL.
It's just like with
the
NBA.
And they were two different
like
leagues.
NBA. Just like the NBA used to have, the ABA, the American Basketball
ABA.
Association. ABA, yeah, exactly. Same thing, and they all merged, the teams merged to the original sport, the original league, NFL, So it's the same thing. This could happen, and I'm telling you, the NFL would be their own worst enemy to keep this up. It would be their own downfall, I guarantee you. And I think Ms. V agrees with that. I think Greg probably agrees with that too. I'm not the one to speak for them, but it could be their own worst enemy if they keep this up. I'm just saying. You're going to take all the fun out of the game, and I know you're trying to protect. I know it's different because you're talking about millions upon millions
but
of dollars.
But again, the reason why the NFL
still,
is the Premier League
football.
Is because they are the only nonprofit. First of all, let's keep something real. The NFL only succeeds because they are a nonprofit. I want people to understand that the NFL is a nonprofit.
Yeah, you always said that. You've always pointed that out. Correct.
And
right now, Roger Goodell is the puppet of the owners.
Oh, big time. What?
Again, understand
worst
that the NFL is a nonprofit, and when you are running a nonprofit, when you're running a billion-dollar nonprofit association, it's its own worst enemy because I'm willing to bet 95% of the fans do not understand that the NFL is a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Think about that. my. But,
the reason why the contracts are written the way they were, the reason every single NFL player who has a contract in the NFL, part of their contract is a commitment to community service and charity. That's where part of their money is.
Yes, big time. Yep, United Way, all that stuff. Play 60, all that stuff. Why you think they're going after the TV CEOs and stuff? Because they want their own commercials to be put on there more than the TV shows commercials, like, you know, them promoting their own TV shows. They want their own stuff, like United Way and, you know, Play for 60.
Oh, hold on, hold on. I just, 1 minute. I got to read this article.
I think
I've been misspeaking for the past couple of years.
Ooh.
And I'm going to read this article because this is from the Washington Post.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to read this, and I will do more research after I read this article, but I'm going to read this article. The NFL is dropping its tax-exempt status. Why that ends up helping. So where I've been yelling about them being a nonprofit.
Oops.
And this is from April 28, 2015, so it's not that old. It's not like they have been...
Yeah, it's like 10 years ago.
Let's put it out there.
Yeah. Listen, we're not...
Okay, the National... And like I said, this is the Washington Post from April 28, 2015. Because I do research while we're on here because I'm always yelling about them being a nonprofit. I stick to that. The NFL commissioner, the National Football League said Tuesday it will end its tax-exempt status, squashing one of America's most baffling corporate tax breaks and granting the mega business more secrecy about its inner financial workings. The change will mean the NFL's head office, which earned revenues of about, come on, computer, Pookie, let go of the crack pipe. Okay, thank you, baby. which earned revenue of about $327 million in 2013 will have to pay taxes on his income. But the football juggernaut will no longer have to file yearly tax forms that publicly disclose the details like executive pay, including for Commissioner Roger Goodell, who made $44 million in 2012. And a letter dated Tuesday to team owners and members of Congress, Goodell called the decades-old tax-exempt status a distraction that has been – that has been mischaracterized repeatedly and whose end will make no material difference to our business. The fact that is that the business of NFL has never been tax exempt, Goodell wrote. Every dollar of income generated through the television rights fees, licensing agreement, sponsorships, ticket sales, and other means is earned by 32 clubs and is taxable there. Since 1942, America's biggest sports empire has qualified as 501(c)(6) nonprofit, the same designation given to business leagues, trade groups, and organizations like the American Medical Association, central bodies for hockey and golf. The National Hockey League and the PGA also file as nonprofits because the tax code says they work to promote their industries, not for as for profit enterprises. The NFL has defended its nonprofit status by pointing out all of its teams are for-profit entities, which is true. Every single team itself is a for-profit. And the billions they make from TV contracts, ticket sales, merchandise are already taxed. Earlier this month, an NFL spokesman told the Washington Post that the league's office has always been a nonprofit because it does not engage in income-producing or profit-making activity. But congressional leaders have routinely questioned whether sports leagues deserve a tax break. For every dollar that goes out in a case like that, that's a dollar my constituents have to pay in income taxes, said Maine's independent Senator Agnes King last year. The NFL is following a similar play by Major League Baseball, which opted to forego its tax exempt status in 2007. The National Basketball Association and NASCAR both filed as now remember this, I want y'all to hear this. The NBA and NASCAR both filed as for-profit companies. Just how much the NFL's headquarters in New York will need to start forking over in taxes remains unclear. A congressional committee estimated the NFL would need to pay about $10 million in taxes, a drop in the bucket for a league where team revenues add up to nearly $10 billion a year. But the NFL executives will gain cover for criticism over their paychecks. The league's 2013 tax filing revealed that besides Goodell's $44 million, six other executives drew seven-figure salaries and about 290 employees made $100,000 or more. Some lawmakers on Tuesday celebrate the shift who last year called and, basically, they're no longer tax exempt.
In other words, they've been paying taxes for the last 2 years, is what you're saying, right? Correct?
They've been paying taxes for a year and a half now, okay?
Yeah, about, yeah. But before that, they were like the churches in across the country.
And on that situation, why do you think players' union sued roughly at that time because of all the former players with head concussions and all
that? And that's one of the reasons why. And all they, and the NFL being nonprofit, you know, but a lot of people don't realize when you start a nonprofit, you have to be transparent. That's why UNICEF, United Way, American Red Cross. Remember when American Red Cross got hit big time a few years ago because the money was not going where it was supposed to because they were a nonprofit, but 92% of the money that was being brought in was being paid out of salaries, and they had to disclose that. And the big thing with nonprofits, and I know a lot about nonprofits. Fortunately, the reason why I know is because I used to run a nonprofit. Yeah, one of my many jobs. And when you run a nonprofit, there's no number that you have to give back. You just have to show that you're giving. And a lot of nonprofits are billion-dollar corporations. And what they give to the communities that they're supposed to be serving is mediocre compared to what they're bringing in, because you're talking about CEOs of these companies that are nonprofits are bringing in like $1.2, $1.3 million a year to run the American Heart Association, the Red Cross, Salvation Army, these different organizations. And that's why they have to disclose it, because, like, I do not give to an organization that has high administrative costs. The one thing I learned being in a nonprofit and running a nonprofit, that the average cost for overhead for administrative fees for a nonprofit should be no more than 20% of what's brought in. If it's more than 20%, that is not a organization that I would give my money to. And that's why the Salvation Army now has one of the biggest donation giving in the world, because I believe last time I checked that their administrative fees only their administrative cost only accounts for like 9% of what they bring in. So for 9 cents of every dollar that's donated, 9 cents goes to cover salaries and administrative stuff. So when you look at 9 cents, you say, well, that's not a lot of money. But when you look at how much they bring in during the holidays and how much they give back to the community, I could speak for here in Michigan. We have the Salvation Army has the bed and breakfast truck that goes out to the communities. They give out food like sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. They go to the different – they literally have a truck that goes to the street to feed people. And these people walk up to the street to this truck and they get food, and sometimes this is the only meal they get in a given day, and they go to different areas. And the Salvation Army tries to do a whole lot of their work on volunteer base, but also what they do is they get people off the street here. A lot of people work for the Salvation Army or for former addicts in one way or another, former homeless people, people who have benefited from their shelter. And remember, out of all of the nonprofits that are so public, the Salvation Army is actually truly a church. And a lot of people don't know that. They're actually a church.
Yes.
They're the biggest church in the United States. And if you ever look, if you ever go into a Salvation Army thrift store, you will never hear, I won't say never, you very seldom hear secular music being played in there. It's always some type of, and I won't even say gospel, because gospel is way different than just regular church music. You will hear church music. You will hear some gospel, but it will always be faith-based music. So, for my little tangent where I went off by a minute.
Yeah.
It's not me ringing.
I know.
NFL is no longer a nonprofit. No, I do not apologize, though, because they have been a nonprofit. Okay, you've only been for profit for a year, so I'm not going to sit here and apologize. It ain't like y'all been a for profit for 10 years.
Now, think about that. You know, Roger Goodell alone in 2015 made $44 million. Can you imagine?
No, that was 2012. That was 2012.
Okay.
2012, he made $44 million.
So now 5 years later, you know, it probably is at least what, $60 million? He probably made.
I think that's low.
Like this past year?
I think he's closer to about 96, 98 million.
Whatever the true they put out there, because maybe you know they'll do say a certain
no
number,
have
but
to
maybe the higher.
No, they no longer.
You know what I mean?
They no longer have to disclose his salary.
Oh.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but
because they're no longer
that,
a nonprofit, they no longer have to disclose
yeah,
his
yeah,
salary.
True. But yeah,
so
after
if he made $44 million in 2012,
can you imagine?
I'm saying that the man is close to $100 million now. I'm thinking he's closer
just
to $100 million.
Think about that. Think about that.
Yep.
Just think about that for a moment. Okay, now Matt. Okay. Because knowing that it's him, that's what pisses me off. You know, I don't begrudge anybody making money, but it's just him. Like Greg said, he's a puppet head. You know, just, whatever. All right. To each his own. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, what was it last year? It was said last year the NFL made over $10 billion.
Huh.
And that's distributed between 32 teams and
yep, the owners.
Everything.
Yep.
Everything.
Cha-ching.
And that's merchandise.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
for
each
revenue?
Team that was sold
uh-huh.
by the
TV
NFL.
Revenue? Yes.
And then what the teams bring in on tickets, concessions,
yep.
each game, it's like, okay, well, what's the percentage of what that team is bringing home, at home or away, and then I already know what the people are charging to run those stadiums as far as it's a, okay, your softball team, football team, whatever, run this concession,
mm-hmm.
you will get
mm-hmm.
2-5% of the sales that you
mm-hmm.
bring into your concession as a fundraiser.
Right.
And the rest of the money goes to the stadium, the owners, the players, and
yep.
all that.
Yep, correct.
So if they sell $100,000 during one football game in one stand, I mean 10%. Okay, that's what $1,000.
All right.
So cut that in half. Okay, $500. Okay,
mm-hmm.
cut it down to mm-hmm. less than that. You guys made $250 in 4 hours of a football game. So to help support that team that is running that concession stand, okay, well, it's good money. Plus, we get to go to a game.
Yep.
Every now and then, yeah, go out there and watch. Okay, come back to work. I've already been there and done
okay,
that.
Okay, well, I'm going to say something about the concession stands only at Ford Field, and then I'm going to, you know, we don't want them to cut us off because, remember, this is our show.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
But Ford Field in Detroit, what I do know is that during the football season, different nonprofits, and when I say nonprofits, I'm talking about schools. I'm not talking about American Red Cross, but different schools that are not like Catholic schools, not any school that has a nonprofit status or any organization that has a nonprofit status. They do a raffle every year, and they give the opportunity. They pick from, you know, people would say, hey, we want to do a concession stand. And the profits from different stands, whichever stand that organization is running, they actually get the money from that.
Yes.
The profits from that stand. And
correct.
That is one of the things I did respect. Now, another thing is that, and I know this to be true, in the NFL, even now, every single football game that you attend, every single NFL football team that is attended holds a 50-50 raffle. And that money does go to a nonprofit. And normally they'll tell you that it's going to this many different organizations. That's why the 50-50 is so high at them games. That's why I always buy the 50-50 because, I mean, who wouldn't like to walk up out of there with $50,000 in their pocket? It's taxable, but, hey, let me win 50 G's, and I pay 10. James? Hello?
Hello, James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I thought I was not on mute. Sorry. I was talking, but I was on mute. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yes. So I wasn't falling asleep or nothing. I just had the phone on mute. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that's a very interesting. In other words, NFL equals a lot of money. A lot of money, a $1 billion corporation. And unfortunately, we will see expansion team in London, and there will be a Super Bowl in London. So let's get ready to bomb it on that one. I'm just saying.
And be prepared to hide your money when you go to Mexico. They're going to put it in Mexico.
I do say one thing. It would be very interesting to have the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. Because you know that's going to happen with the new stadium and everything. That would be awesome to go to a Super Bowl game in Las Vegas.
First of all, let's get something clear. I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it to put a damper on us, but let's keep it real. They have the Super Bowl in Vegas. Us regular folks ain't going to be able to afford to go. Okay.
Imagine how much.
I don't care if they put the tickets on sale 10 years in advance. We won't be able to go.
Yeah.
And I say that because, first of all, I go to Vegas on a regular. And to go to a show on the Vegas Strip is like going to a show on Broadway. And I've been to shows on the Vegas Strip, and I'm going to give you an idea. Zumanity. The cheapest tickets to go to Zumanity are $98 a piece. And that was like 3 years ago. They're probably more than that now. To go see somebody like Marie and Donny Osmond, it's $100. There are, and those are the cheap seats. I don't even know how much the J-Lo tickets are. And Celine Dion, let's not even talk about it. And Frank Moreno, who does all the different women that he performs as, his tickets are outrageous. So if we can't afford to go watch a show in Vegas now, what makes you think we're going to be able to afford to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
well,
I say that not to be
food.
A Debbie Downer. I say that not to be a Debbie Downer, but to give people now – For now, the one thing I can say is that regular football tickets will probably be, and I'm going to say this, they will be reasonable once the glitz and glamour of them being there. The first games, the scalper is going to have a field day. You know, the ticket, you know, unless they do what they're trying to do now with the, you know, Ticketmaster is implementing where you can't, the robots can't buy the tickets. And they're going to implement that, I think, in September. And the reason why they're doing it is so that people who want to afford the cheap seats can actually get them. But right now you've got the robots that are going in on – as soon as these tickets for different venues go on sale, they're going in and they're scooping them up. I was given the example that the Lion King tickets that we purchased came from New York, even though Lion King was here, because they scooped up all the cheap seats. And the ticket brokers will not be able to go in as easy with Ticketmaster and scoop up these tickets. You know, and that's something that I've always said. And if anybody don't know Ticketmaster, I'm hoping that NFL.com does the same thing that Ticketmaster is now doing. You know, my season tickets, I'm not doing NFL Pass, even though I may sell a couple of my games. Because I may sell a couple of my games, whomever gets my tickets will have to go to StubHub, because StubHub is the only place that's allowed to duplicate the tickets. So
right.
NFL Pass will do electronic tickets, but because I'm a season ticket holder, I'm allowed to sell my tickets on StubHub and NFL Pass, but because they're, I'm going to have all physical tickets because NFL game tickets are collector's items, especially when you're a season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that people want to look at when Vegas start doing, and I'm sure the NFL has already looked at it. They're going to have to go after the ticket brokers. The ticket brokers are going to make the tickets so high. It's not so much that they're going to not be affordable. It's the ticket brokers that are going to shoot up the price.
Yep.
Convicted.
Yeah. I mean, that's way here in Oklahoma City, when you buy tickets for Oklahoma City Thunder basketball games, you've got one website where you have to go to buy them, even from season ticket holders. That way, it's a guarantee and no scam.
Well, it's no scam, but, like, I can tell you one thing. For my season tickets, I got – and I must say this. I don't know how many games I'm going to go to. I will be at the Thanksgiving Day game, so don't nobody even think about trying to get my Thanksgiving Day game tickets from me. Let's just put it out there. But, you know, we know what games we're going to probably go to. But because of how much our tickets cost for the season, I told my daughter, I said, we'll probably get our money back for our tickets because I think that we may not go to three games, and we've got some fabulous seats. You know, just saying.
Just fabulous seats. Now remember,
you sell them at cost.
Now remember, I am your friend, and if I happen to be in the area, and someone that you know can't make it, I'm a very good replacement.
especially if the Lions are playing the Giants.
That would be awesome. Now that would be awesome. Now, unfortunately, the Lions are coming here to get beat again like last year. So, now if they ever go back to Ford Field, I would love to have that happen. Make a date out of it. That'd be cool. Now, how cool would that be? Would you do a show before the game or something? And, that would be awesome. Hey, that's something to think about.
And be like, look who I'm taking to the game with me. Brad, you know. We might have to get you an Uber
imagine?
After the game. You know what? We might have to get you an Uber after the game.
we will see. We don't know. But that's a good idea that might happen. But we will see about that. But that would be, can you imagine our mouths during a game? Oh my God. Jesus Christ. The section would, that would be, we can't even say anything on this show, what we would say. We just can't.
And
them out.
And Ford Field, Verizon is improving the reception at Ford Field for Wi-Fi. So it's like, they said by the end, before this season starts, Wi-Fi reception will be a whole lot better.
Okay.
So for anybody who wants to know, because people, the whole thing is everybody knows I Periscope when I'm at Ford Field. The reception is going to be so much better this year. They've already said that. They're putting in new fiber optic cables and stuff to get a better Wi-Fi reception. I'm just saying.
There you go.
But it's 7:30, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Oh, real quickly, I just want to say this. For my very quick prediction of Major League Baseball, the only quick prediction that me and Miss V really care about, if this is my prediction, the Tigers and Yankees will face each other in a one-game playoff in the wild card. That's all I got to say. The Tigers will be the number one wild card team. The Yankees will be the second, and there will be a one-game playoff in Detroit, in Comerica Park. That's my prediction. We'll see what happens.
Well, you're doing better than me, because you know what I predict? I predict same old Tigers.
Didn't you do that last year? Remember what homeboy, after he did that blow-up, remember he got thrown out of that game. They did play better now, to be fair.
and they was.
But we have to, but we have to get him ejected early in the year for him, for them to play good. You know, we can't be having those late standings in the year. You know, if we're gonna go through that, and that's their motivation.
Oh.
If that's their mojo, we got to do it early in the season.
Yes, no, you're absolutely correct. But they have. But let's be honest, they have enough talent to do something. There's no excuse. They have enough talent. You know, I know it's the Indians and a lot of people are on their bandwagon. Oh, they're going to go back to the World Series. But they can have a come down. And besides that team in that division, the Tigers could be the next best team. Because I don't think the Royals are going to be as good. Last year they weren't as good. I think they're falling down by the wayside. So I think the second best team in that division is the Tigers. I'm just saying. You never know. Especially
well, you go for that one because that's a – okay, opening day for the Detroit Tigers is next Friday. Will I be at that game? No.
Well,
do I do opening day? No. And anybody asks why I don't do it, I don't do Tigers opening day because no, it's not even about it being cold. It has to do with alcohol. And I'm being very honest. I mean – downtown Detroit on Tigers opening day, you know, the alcoholics have been simmering, especially with the Red Wings not making it to the playoffs. You know, so the alcoholics have, you know, their tolerance level hasn't been built back up because they, you know, and for true baseball fans, they might not be fans of any other sport. You have some that aren't fans of anything but, like, baseball. So they've been sober since October, so opening day is like the first drunk day of the season, and that's not a place that I want to be. Because, you know, all these alcoholics got to rebuild their tolerance from being, you know, clean for 6 months, and, you know, they probably done lost some weight looking good and everything and all sober. So I'm just letting it know. I'm letting it be known. I don't go around. I don't go near downtown Detroit on opening day because
opening day
they've been sober for too long. I gotta get you know, that alcohol got built back up. And we have this little thing, and on top of that there's a thing, I don't know if you guys have it, but it's a traveling bar, and I'm not sure if that's exactly what it's called, but it's like you got like 7 or 8 people, and they're on this thing. It's like a table in the middle, but they all got, it's like bicycle wheels, and everybody is pedaling, and they're drinking, and they, like, go from bar to bar to bar, and people get on and get off.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know what it's called. I call it a traveling bar, because some of them folks, you be like, okay, I know
y'all
ain't sober.
Yep, that's awesome.
But during football and baseball season, and any time that it's warm enough for people to be on a bike, the traveling bar goes around and they like bar hop. I kid you not. So.
Yep. And that traveling bar bicycle is a bar.
I love it. I've seen one of those. Awesome.
So,
I've seen people drunk on them.
You guys already pulled out the pick for the baseball, MLB.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm going to go ahead and call, even though I haven't seen it in a while, the last game I saw. St. Louis and Chicago.
St. Louis and Chicago.
Now,
are you saying
one of the two?
As far as what, like the Cubs, you saying the Cubs are going to win the division again?
Yeah, I'll put it this way. I think the Cubs would win the division again.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I base this off of is the last baseball game I ever saw, Major League, was back in mid-2000.
Jesus Christ.
When Sosa played for the Cubs.
Wow.
First inning, he was number 3 hole, right off the bat. Home run. So,
there you go. Yeah, so I'll get more into the rest of my predictions on my own show tomorrow afternoon, the Bedroom is Live Show, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. on Mixer.com. I'll do that very thoroughly on that one.
Okay, and just so everybody didn't know what I was talking about, this is called the Detroit Cycle Pub.
Okay.
The bar that I was talking about.
Oh, the Detroit Cycle Pub? Nice.
And you actually book it. It's like a thing that you book. And it's,
ooh,
it's a touring bar. It's like a bar that you tour. It's a bar that you ride, and they said it goes for 2 hours.
Ooh, nice. Nice 2 hours of nonstop alcohol consumption. Not bad. Sounds better than Disney World.
As you're pedaling the bicycle down the road drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Not
and
bad.
It's legal.
I think
first of all, this is the only thing that you can legal. Michigan has a no open house. You can't walk around like with a brown bag drinking in Michigan. But apparently it's legal to do this. I'm going to have to look up on it more.
They found a loophole is what you're saying.
Or they may have gotten a special license.
Yeah. True. Interesting. But
okay,
I didn't know that the Travel
I'm
Channel.
I'm getting sleepy.
Okay, so we're way over the hour.
They might cut us off.
Yeah, but I'm surprised they haven't already. So that's my cue to say thank you once again, everybody, for listening to another exciting edition of this weekly Quickest Hour in Sports Talk, which is Let's Talk About Sports on V's After Dark Radio. Tune in next Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another exciting edition of Let's Talk About Sports. And tomorrow, including Greg, if he knows about this show, the flagship show of the station, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex. And for 2 weeks in a row, we have another guest. Please tell Ms. V who that be. Ms. V.
Kelly Provocator.
Yes. Can't wait. Yes, I've had her on my show, and it'll be fun. Just like I had last week.
And everybody, I'm letting y'all know that I'm like a little tired. We all know this is like close to nap time for me, so no disrespect.
Close has been over nap time. I don't blame you, Ms. V. You've been up since, what, like, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Something like that? Yeah, so.
Yes.
Yeah, you is tired in capital bold letters. So, for Ms. V, I'd like to say have a good evening, everybody. And don't forget, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. is the second time, so about 6 o'clock, like, Ms. V, the toilet is the host, and me riding shotgun. And, of course, you hear Greg calling in. You hear Greg and you hear Randy calling and whoever else. Oh, of course, Kelly Provocator.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So everybody, have a great evening.
Yes. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye. And have a nice nappy nap, Ms. V. Well, you're going to bed, straight to bed, knowing you.
Yeah, I'm going straight to bed.
Good night, everybody. Night, Greg. Bye, everybody. Bye, Ms. V. Love you. See you all tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Yeah, 10 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow night. Bye. Bye.